Sandbox Radio.
Things. Sandbox Radio. Sandbox Radio. Sandbox Radio. Sandbox Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Sandbox Radio. In the heart of downtown Rain City, Seattle. In tonight's episode, new works by writers Scott Augustson, Keiko Green, Elizabeth Heffron, and Wayne Raleigh, with the hilarious Peggy Platt, special musical guest Sarah Rudinoff, and much more. Plus all your favorite Sandbox Radio players and the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, led by maestro and composer, the fabulous Angie Louise. So, sit back and relax as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Please report to Lab 6. Dr. Singh, you have a call on Pathology Line 2. Dr. Singh, Pathology Line 2. Dr. Kartur, you have results pending in Lab 14. Dr. Kartur, Lab 14, please.
Good morning, Jenkins. Quite a morning out there this morning, wouldn't you say?
A morning, Dr. Hall.
I wasn't sure I was going to make it in. We must have gotten 3 feet last night.
Yes, quite a snowstorm.
I love waking up to snow on the ground. The way it blankets everything, it seems like all the troubles of the world disappear. Everything is fresh, everything is quiet. For a brief moment, everything is calm.
Snowflakes by Wayne Raleigh.
I hated to spoil it by trudging into work. Ha! But research never stops, does it, Jenkins?
No, I suppose it does not.
I wish it did sometimes. Trust me. Have we got the findings back from the blind yet? The blind? Did the findings come back from the last comparison? I've got a report due to Director Bliss at 3 p.m.
Oh, yes. They're on your station.
What has you so distracted? And why is it so blasted cold in here?
I've adjusted the temperature to keep the snow from melting too quickly.
What are you talking about? Jenkins, have you seen my microscope? It doesn't appear to be on my desk. Oh? What is this?
I borrowed every microscope on the floor.
And lined them up on this table. Yes, I can see, Jenkins. What are you doing?
Take a look.
It's freezing in here. Let me put my coat back
Take
on.
Take a look!
Which one?
It doesn't matter. Start anywhere.
Okay, Jenkins. Calm down.
I came in early this morning because I wanted to give myself extra time because of the snow. It turns out they plowed the highway, so I got in with time to spare. To be honest, I wasn't feeling like starting the culture samples we've been working on. So on a lark, I took some snow off the window and looked at it through a microscope. I've seen pictures of individual snowflakes before, of course, but I never looked myself. I zoomed in on a few just for fun.
What am I looking at here?
Snowflakes at 1,000 magnification. You don't really need any more than that to see.
But this can't be.
That's what I thought. So I got another scope from Washington Station. Look over here.
How did you do this?
I didn't do anything, Dr. Hall. I swear to you. These six are with snow from the south window. These six are with snow from the east window.
But all of these samples look the same.
Exactly, sir.
That isn't possible. Every snowflake that falls is completely unique.
That is what I'm saying.
Every droplet of water that falls through a properly chilled atmosphere and finds a dust particle to cling to crystallizes into a completely distinct, precious, and delicate hexagonal form, unlike any other that fell before or after.
Yes, sir.
We've been telling people that every snowflake is completely and unequivocally unique. For years we've been telling people that.
I know.
And now you're telling me...
It would appear...
And now you're saying...
It would appear, actually, that all snowflakes are exactly the same.
Oh, this is bad.
I know.
This is very bad.
Yes, sir.
This is worse than what we said that... Fat is what was making people fat.
It was actually sugar.
Yes, I know it was actually sugar, Jenkins. I know that.
What are we going to do, Dr. Hall?
Did you try that snow over there?
No, but...
Try it.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No, not that snow. Not the yellow one. It's the regular snow.
Yes, sir.
Put it here.
Okay.
Well?
The same, sir.
No.
It's the same,
no,
sir.
No, it can't be. It just can't be.
It's true, sir. All snowflakes are exactly the same. Not unique at all. Everyone just like the other.
How could we have been so wrong?
Things evolve, Dr. Hall. You know the dinosaurs? Thunder lizards? As it turns out, they were probably more like birds, covered in feathers.
Yes, but those were paleontologists. They start pulling bones out of the ground, higgledy-piggledy, and with 100 years, they have an entire coloring book industry full of fantastical dragon creatures. Big deal. No one expects them to know what they're talking about. These are snowflakes. Have you told any actual meteorologist about this?
Just you, Dr. Hall.
Fame hounds a lot of them. They're all so busy getting made up for TV with their fancy wind parkas and their mobile weather centers that they completely dropped the ball on this.
What do we do, sir?
Dear God, what do we tell the poets? What do we tell the preschool teachers? What do we tell the new parents?
We are going to have to tell the guidance counselors and the art and drama therapy professionals as well, sir.
The metaphorical implications of this discovery are terrifying, Jenkins.
Director Bliss has to be informed, sir.
Wait. Wait just a minute here. I've got it!
What?
Turn up the heat! Melt this infernal discovery back into the liquid state from whence it came. Get hair dryers, curling irons, space heaters!
Dr. Hall! Dr. Hall! Stop! Stop! That is irresponsible, sir. Exploration and discovery is our solemn oath. We have a duty, sir. We are scientists.
They are going to crucify us. The inspirational poster and greeting card community alone is going to run us out of town on a rail.
Dr. Bliss will know what to do.
Know what to do about what, Jenkins? Hall? Why is it so cold in here? Why are all the windows open?
We need to tell you something, sir. An important discovery.
Well, make it snappy. I've got my biannual meeting with the inspirational poster and greeting card lobby in 15 minutes. The poets and preschool teachers are right after that, and the new parents are already here waiting for me in reception. I love them, but they are a bunch of pushy a-holes. It's a busy day, Jenkins. Well, what's the discovery?
Snowflakes, Dr. Bliss.
What about snowflakes?
Oh.
Are they still droplets of water that fall through a properly chilled atmosphere, find a dust or pollen particle to cling to, and crystallize into a hexagonal form?
Yes.
They crystallize into a completely distinct, precious, and delicate hexagonal form, unlike any other that fell before or will fall after. What's the problem?
Dr. Bliss, turns out they are all exactly the same.
Don't mess with me, Hall.
He's right, Director Bliss. Every snowflake that falls is exactly like every other. Take a look here. And here.
But...
It's okay. There.
My mommy told me I was special.
Great! Nice work, Jenkins.
There isn't anyone just exactly like me.
Do something, Jenkins.
Dr. Bliss?
Mommy. Mommy, I'm thirsty. Why is it so dark in here? Mommy!
Jenkins!
Dr. Bliss, wait a second. I think this is good.
What?
What?
I'm relieved, to be honest. I'm tired of not being like anyone else. It makes sense to me that snowflakes are all the same. Of course they are. They are made out of the same stuff. They travel similar journeys through the same elements. Some get tossed this way and some get tossed that way. Some melt right away. Some stick around for what seems like forever. Some make you happy and calm. Some make you late for work, and some even crash your car into a guardrail. But in a very basic way, they are all the same. I find it comforting. Maybe if every snowflake is basically the same, maybe, well, maybe we are all on some level the same too.
People just might go for that.
Call meteorology.
But Dr. Bliss.
This is meteorology's message to deliver. We are gonna need a pretty face on this one.
It's not fair! Jenkins, I tell you it isn't fair!
Jenkins?
Yes, Director Bliss?
Nice work back there. That was some A1 grade science.
Thank you, sir.
Just so you know.
Yes, sir.
You and I aren't the same. With the blink of an eye, I could have you in the basement scrubbing smallpox cultures off the backs of dead rats for the rest of your natural days.
Yes, sir.
Carry on, Snowflake.
Yes, sir.
All snowflakes contain six sides. The molecules in ice crystals join to one another in a hexagonal structure, an arrangement which allows water molecules, each with three atoms, one oxygen and two hydrogen, to form together in the most perfect way. Six sides, three molecules, divisible by two. Nature's beauty explained by simple mathematics. Yet only half of us get unfettered access to the discovery of the science of a snowflake. In the STEM fields of science, technology, engineering, and math, women comprise
only 38% of PhDs,
18% of all engineers,
and just 24% of the total STEM jobs.
Simple mathematics says that's not a sound equation, especially in light of the fact that the total population of women amounts to 51.7% of the people on the planet.
Yeah.
Seem a little whiny and shrill?
Yeah, you got that right.
Now that you mention it.
Well, scientifically, most women do have higher voices.
What?
We just want our demands heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, half the jobs and equal respect. You guys still sing lower. Lift heavier things. Catch our pitch during childbirth.
I got it. Nice.
And always have it easier when peeing outside.
Dude, I can write my name.
Guys.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus. How about making it easier for women to get those STEM job opportunities? Support the Association of Women in Science, and you've made a great start. At the Seattle chapter of AWIS, we envision a world where Seattle women of all ages are actively supported in STEM hobbies, studies, and careers. So this year, when you organize your charitable giving, give to the Association of Women in Science. Give for your daughters, your granddaughters, if you married a daughter, or if you ever were a daughter. Visit seattleaws.org for more information and to make a tax-deductible donation. Come on, guys. Let's find the beauty in every snowflake, even if it's a chick thing. And now, another installment of Platitudes from the Mind of Peggy Platt.
Snowflakes, each different but structurally the same, mathematically perfect, yet can create great chaos when dumped all at once or without warning or any time it snows in Seattle. Seattleites freak out when there's snow. This year, around the greater Seattle area, we had a perfect snow. Around here, we can count our perfect snows, especially at the holidays. I remember two such perfect snows growing up. One fell January 1972 with 3.5 snow days. And the biggest snow fort I've ever built. And on Cottage Lake, where we still have our family home, it was iced over hard enough to play hockey for 2 weeks. Perfect. But even more perfect was Christmas 1965, when I was in the first grade. Now, it didn't seem perfect at the time. Back in the summer, my mother had received an urgent call from DSHS to take in a family of 3 sibs as temporary foster kids. A little more backstory. My brother and I were adopted at birth by my parents. Before they were deemed fit parents to adopt, it was suggested that they might become foster parents. My parents were labeled as morally questionable by the state of Washington, as they had been divorced and remarried to each other due to the pressures of infertility. And they'd only been married 5 of the 11 years they had together in God's eyes. I know this because the phrase was actually written down in their case files. First, my mom said no to fostering again. She had her boy-girl combo, and things were good. She did miss the challenge, though, and was a sucker for the kid's backstory. A postpartum schizophrenic mother and a mostly absent opera singer father who lived out of a suitcase. They just needed a home for 3 to 6 months. And so they arrived June 15th, the day before my 6th birthday. My perfect party was ruined because Janine's birthday was the day before mine, and so we had to have a second cake, and I got less gifts and less attention from my mom, and my wardrobe that year became almost all blue because my mother had started that day in making me the blue girl. We were a perfect stepladder by Christmas, 2 boys, 3 girls, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 in ages. The girls got 3 pairs of fuzzy slippers and matching fuzzy robes in pink, yellow, and blue. I was blue. And 3 church hats. I wanted the paisley, but I got blue. And my Aunt Clara, who always breezed in on holidays with fabulous gifts, gave us $5 each to shop instead of our customary pile of gifts so we could all feel special. That really sucked. Brother Bill was a cowboy. Eddie was an Indian, so quick-thinking dad made them both big game hunters. And we 3 girls got 1 easy bake oven with a triple pack of mixes and 3 Barbies to share 1 deluxe wardrobe and dream house. I kvetched and moaned, but I did learn to share. And our perfect Rockwellian Christmas was complete with snow. The kids had bounced around all over the country since birth, and none of them had seen a white Christmas or had a daddy who stomped around with jingle bells on the porch roof, or a mother whose mission it was to make each one of us feel equally special every day. I sobbed hard, so I couldn't breathe the day they left with only 3 days' warning to move in with their dad and new stepmom, just shy of 13 months from when they came. So when I remember the five of us screaming with laughter and joy about the first flakes falling on Christmas Eve, it was perfect. A perfect childhood memory of a perfect year with a perfect Christmas and a perfect family, starting off with perfect snowflakes. Peggy Platt, everybody!
Sandbox Radio Live is brought to you in part tonight by the 1448 Project, producing all iterations of 1448, the world's quickest theater festival, 1448 Nordo, Theater Anonymous, and more since 1997. It's a simple premise. Gather some of Seattle's most daring theater artists and put them in a pressure cooker. Up next at ACT Theater, January 5th through the 13th, the latest iteration of their classic festival, 14 plays, written, cast, directed, rehearsed, scored, designed, and premiered in 48 hours. Tickets are on sale now at acttheater.org.
Woods these are. I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near. Between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds, the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. But I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep. I have a pretty good idea whose woods these are, believe me. And let me tell you something. My people say he's a complete nobody. This guy lives in the village. So what if he sees me stopping here? I dare him to sue me. I dare him to sue me. And, by the way, this snow is pathetic. These are the least downy flakes ever. I hear they had to import them from Canada. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. We're looking into it. My horse. He's the most incredible horse, seriously. I have the greatest, the classiest horses. My horse doesn't even know what the hell we're doing here. The horses love me, though. They do. They're always shaking their bells at me. It's very loving. It's a beautiful thing. Let me tell you something. These woods are pathetic. They're an embarrassment. They're not dark. They're not deep. They're nothing. They're for losers. And I cannot wait to sue this guy. I cannot wait to sue this guy.
Delta Dawn. Delta Dawn, what the hell do you have on? Could it be? No, that's not right.
You're always effing up songs, Trig. It's Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on?
Flower.
Could it be a faded rose from days gone by?
I got me a lot of questions about that song. Always have.
Always?
Yeah, always. When I was a kid, my sister had the 45. Played it over and effing over. She even played it after she left it in the car and the sun warped the F out of it.
Why'd she have a record in the car?
Afraid it would get stolen.
Daddy Still Calls Her Baby by Scott Augustson.
But back to the questions.
Oh, good. I was worried we wouldn't get back to your questions about a 40-year-old song.
Like, faded rose from days gone by? A rose isn't gonna fade. It's gonna dry up and, like... Oh, Shasta, remember when we were squatting in that... What am I trying to say? That brick building.
The one in Georgetown. The warehouse.
Yeah, the warehouse.
Effin' freezing. All the windows were busted out. Wind blowing right through it.
Yeah, remember that chick, Ellie, always stealing flowers from graveyards?
Oh, yeah. That can't be good luck.
Okay, point is, those flowers did not last a week, effing petals on the ground. How could Delta Dawn still be wearing a rose from years ago? She'd have been wearing a stick.
Plastic.
Wouldn't fade.
Plastic does too, fade.
When I was a kid, I used to think that all songs kind of took place in the same world, like Delta Dawn and Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia were the same story. That's the same singer, right?
No. Lights in Georgia was that girl from the Carol Burnett show. What was her name?
Carol Burnett? She was the only girl on that show.
No. She looked like Carol Burnett, but younger. Played her mom. Now that's effed up, isn't it?
Speaking of effed up, I was gonna ask, there a sweep coming up?
Yeah, they said that, but they're usually a couple, 3 days late. We should ask that dude with the yellow vouchers.
What's the difference between the pink vouchers and the yellow vouchers?
One's pink, one's yellow.
I'm asking about the effing sweep because if it's this weekend, we should get Judy's stuff for her. There's no way she's going to be out of Harborview.
You've been up to see her?
For like 5 minutes. She was in the ICU, then got out, but then she got this infection and got put back in.
Oh.
They're assholes about visitors in ICU.
She gonna lose her leg?
No. I mean, I hope not.
Oh, for God's sakes, all this fuss over nothing. I don't want to press charges. I don't know why I'm here.
Ma'am, you don't have to say anything. In fact, you have the right not to say anything.
I have the... Oh, it's like that, is it? Listen, officer, I was just getting some supplies. See, my housekeeper asked to leave early because Como said it might snow. Might, not that it would. That's neither here nor there. But I thought, well, if Como is right, for once, I should go get a few things at Trader Joe's. And of course, if there's even a whisper of snowflakes, every jackass in town goes and buys 10 loaves of bread. There was no parking for blocks. I mean, a few compact spaces, but I am not going to apologize for having an SUV. If you have kids and they do sports, you need one. Anyway, this whole thing, it's not my fault. I nudged her shopping cart. No, stop. Rewind. It was not her cart, was it? It's like QFCs or Safeways, isn't it? Shouldn't have been in a parking space. And the cart was covered by a tarp. I couldn't see. I didn't know there was anybody under there. I don't have X-ray vision. I'm not the bad guy. I'm not the one living in a shopping cart, peeing on the sidewalk.
Peeing on the sidewalk?
My friend, Vicky, should have gotten 900 for her house in Ballard. But she was near that one park with a lot of homeless. Can I say that without offending anyone these days? But Vicky got 780 because of those people peeing on the sidewalk. Peeing on the sidewalk that is three blocks from a school. Children having to walk through urine to get to school. And I'm the one sitting here talking to you.
Feels like it's gonna snow.
Another thing about Delta Dawn.
We still talking about effing Delta Dawn?
Okay, we know she walks downtown with a suitcase in her hands.
Now she should get something with wheels. Carrying a suitcase, she's gonna have back problems.
She's looking for a mysterious dark-haired man. And did I hear her say he was taking her away to his mansion in the sky?
And who is it that's asking all those effing questions? Hey, Delta Dawn, what are you wearing? And did I hear you say something, nosy asshole?
Is the mysterious man with the house in the sky supposed to be Jesus? Or some guy who screwed Delta Dawn 20 years ago and promised to come back and get her?
Hey, if we take Judy's stuff, and this place gets swept, how's she gonna find us?
You know, and now that I think about it, I don't even know that I'm the one who injured her. She might have already been.
She had multiple breaks in her left leg and a possible pelvic fracture.
Which could have happened earlier. Maybe she was on heroin and couldn't feel anything. Okay? You know what? Fine, just tell me, how much is it gonna cost? I mean, I'm assuming she'll get her medical bills paid for by my tax dollars, but it's okay, I have insurance for the rest. Jesus, those premiums are gonna go up. You know what? She should thank me. She's getting three hot meals a day, nice, warm, dry hospital bed, and a big TV. When's the last time she had that? She'll probably be on crutches, which will mean that when she panhandles, she'll get sympathy. Probably double her tips. Well, not tips, but you know what I mean. Where does she really need to walk to? Somebody like her. Does she have important meetings to go to? Is anyone expecting her, counting on her? Oh, I know. Does she have to get her steps in for her Fitbit? Why am I even here?
Witness said you tried to flee.
Flee? I couldn't get very far dragging that damn cart,
ma'am,
could I?
Again, you don't need to speak.
Well, maybe I have something to say. Ever think of that? You can't shut me up. I pay your salary, so I will speak my mind. Homelessness is not the problem. The problem is homeless people. My husband and I work hard, and just because I chose to make sure my family doesn't go hungry during a snowstorm, I'll probably have to take a goddamn second mortgage out on my home. The home we pay a lot of money for here in a city that never met a new tax it didn't love. It's sickening. It's an injustice, is what it is.
Hey, what's the story with Judy's dog?
Her dog's got a story?
I mean, who has got her? F me, what's her name? Judy's little black pit bull?
I don't know, but damn, that dog's a licker. I would rather have a dog hump me than lick me.
Poor thing, just always wants to lay there and be petted, but Judy's always... Come on, lazy bitch, I'm not having no fat dog. We're going for a walk.
Oh, wasn't that... Shish, what was her name? The tall butch lady that used to be a school teacher?
Tanya?
Yeah, I bet Tanya's got the dog. She was always helping out, making sure there was dog chow around.
I thought Tanya went back to Atlanta to be with her sister.
I think you're thinking of a different Tanya.
Why are so many homeless chicks named Tanya?
You know that's true.
You're going to fingerprint me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. First, I cannot wait to tell my book club that I was fingerprinted. And second, Officer Rodriguez, was it? When I talk to a lawyer, you are going to be very sorry. Oh, fingerprinting. Oh, will I also get a mugshot?
Oh, F me. Oh.
What's so effing funny?
You know how sometimes you get a song stuck in your head, but you don't know why?
Uh-huh.
I just remembered what Judy's pit bull's name is.
What?
Delta. Delta dog.
Oh. Delta dog. What's that color you have on? Could it be
just got high. The one we stayed up late to see if reindeer fly. How did the kids who slept in sleeping bags laid out beneath the tree turn into you and me? And all we can foresee. La da da da. Let it go, don't ask the reason for the same old rhymes that say the times come around again. Let it go, don't count the cost, for they say no love can ever be lost. Let it go tonight, see the city. It'll be all right. So try to make a memory for the years turned round again. Set a tiny flame on fire and try to find a friend. Take a peek. For the picture book, for it now becomes back then. And raise a glass to seasons past and hopes we must defend. One woman's puffing up with pride, and one I know won't cry, just tries and tries to keep your memory alive. And one man's house is full of wine, another fills with prayer, and one man hangs a stocking for the child who isn't there. And somebody's playing in a big stage, and somebody's playing in a dive. And some have had to leave the party, some have just arrived, tiny bells are ringing, and the pine is in the air, and now is not the time to ask if life is fair. La da 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 da. See the times come around again. Let it go, don't count the cost, for they say no love can ever be lost. Let it go tonight, see the city lights, it'll be
Sandbox Radio Live is brought to you in part by West of Lenin, an 88-seat black box theater, gallery, and studio space located in heart of Fremont, just a 5-minute walk west from the statue of me, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. Ah, there used to be so many statues of me. Those were the days. Anyway, West of Lenin was created to offer a venue for Seattle's most interesting and adventurous artists, as well as the reestablishment of a permanent live performance venue in Fremont, the center of the universe. Find out what's playing and get ticket information at westoflenin.com.
$1.87.
That was all.
And 60 cents of it is in pennies.
Pennies saved one and two at a time by bulldozing the grocer and the vegetable man and the butcher until one's cheeks burned with the silent imputation of parsimony that such close dealing implied.
Three times Della counted it, $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but flop down on the shabby little couch and howl. So Della did it.
Which instigates the moral reflection that life is made up of sobs, sniffles, and smiles, with sniffles predominating.
While the mistress of the home is gradually subsiding from the first stage to the second, take a look at the home. A furnished flat at $8 per week. It did not exactly beggar description, but it certainly had the word beggar on the lookout for the coppers. In the vestibule below was a letterbox into which no letter would go, and an electric button from which no mortal finger could coax a ring. Also, appertaining thereunto, was a card bearing the name...
Mr. James Dillingham Young.
The Dillingham had been flung to the breeze during a former period of prosperity when its possessor was being paid...
$30 per week.
Now, when his income had shrunk to...
$20 per week.
The name seemed too long and important. They were thinking seriously of contracting to a modest and unassuming...
D...
But when Mr. James Dillingham Young came home, his name became very short indeed.
Jim!
And he was greatly hugged by Mrs. James Dillingham Young, already introduced to you as...
Della.
Which is all very good.
Della looked dully out the window at a gray cat walking a gray fence in a gray backyard.
Only $1.87, and she had put aside as much as she could for months. $20 a week doesn't go far. Expenses had been greater than she had calculated.
They always are.
Only $1.87 to buy a present for Jim. Her Jim. Many a happy hour she had spent planning on something very nice for him. Something fine and rare and sterling. Something just a little bit near to being worthy of the honor of being owned by Jim.
Oh!
There was a narrow mirror between the windows of the room. A very thin and very agile person may, by observing her reflection in a rapid sequence of longitudinal strips, obtain a fairly accurate conception of her looks.
Della, being slender, had mastered the art.
Rapidly, she pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length.
Now, there were two possessions of the James Dillingham Youngs in which they both took a mighty pride.
One was Jim's gold watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's.
The other thing was Della's hair.
Had the Queen of Sheba lived in the flat across the air shaft, Della would have let her hair hang out the window someday to dry, just to depreciate Her Majesty's jewels and gifts.
Had King Solomon been the janitor, with all his treasures piled up in the basement, Jim would have pulled out his watch every time he passed, just to see him pluck at his beard from envy.
So now Della's beautiful hair fell about her, rippling and shining like a cascade of brown waters. It reached below her knee and made itself almost a garment for her. And then she did it up again nervously and quickly. Once she faltered for a minute and stood still while a tear or two splashed on the worn red carpet.
Then on went her old brown jacket. On went her old brown hat. With a brilliant sparkle in her eyes, she fluttered out the door and down the stairs to the street.
Good morning, Mrs. Young.
Oh, good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes, Merry Christmas.
Where she stopped, the sign read...
Madame Sofroni, hair goods of all kinds. Good afternoon. Hello?
One moment, darling. One moment. What may I show the beautiful young lady today? I have magnificent wigs for a fine young lady like... Oh. Well, what do you want? You're obviously not here to make a purchase.
Will you buy my hair?
Take your hat off and let's have a look at you. $20.
$20?
Not a penny more.
Said Madam, lifting up the hair with a practiced hand.
Give it to me quick before I change my mind.
$20.
Oh, and the next 2 hours tripped by on a rosy wings.
Forget the hashed metaphor. She was ransacking the stores for Jim's present. She found it at last. It surely had been made for Jim and no one else. There was no other like it in any of the stores, and she had turned all of them inside out. It was a platinum fob chain, simple and chaste in design, properly proclaiming its value by substance alone and not by meretricious ornamentation, as all good things should do. It was even worthy of the watch.
As soon as she saw it, she knew
that it must be Jim's. It was like him, quietness and value.
The description applied to both. $21 they took from her for it, and she hurried home with the chain and 87 cents.
When Della reached home, she got out her curling irons and went to work repairing the ravages made by generosity added to love. Within 40 minutes, her head was covered with tiny, close-lying curls that made her look wonderfully like a truant schoolboy.
If Jim doesn't kill me,
she said to herself,
he'll say I look like a Coney Island chorus girl.
At 7 o'clock, the coffee was made and the frying pan was on the back of the stove, hot and ready to cook the chops.
Jim was never late. Della doubled the fob chain in her hand and sat on the corner of the table near the door that he always entered. Then she heard his step in the hall, and her face lost color for a moment. She had a habit of saying a little silent prayer about the simplest everyday things, and now she whispered,
"Please, God, make him think I'm still pretty."
Jim stopped inside the door, as immovable as a setter at the scent of quail. His eyes were fixed upon Della.
She wriggled off the table and went for him.
Jim, dear, don't look at me like that. I had my hair cut off and sold it. I couldn't live through Christmas without giving you a gift. My hair will grow again. You won't care, will you? My hair grows very fast. It's Christmas, Jim. Let's be happy. You don't know what a beautiful gift I got for you.
You've cut off your hair.
Cut it off and sold it. Don't you like me just as well anyhow? I'm me without my hair, ain't I?
Your hair is gone.
Jim looked around the room curiously.
You needn't look for it. It's sold, I tell you. Sold and gone, too. Maybe the hairs on my head were numbered, but nobody could ever count my love for you.
Oh, Del.
Jim put his arms around his Della. For 10 seconds, let us regard with discreet scrutiny some inconsequential object in the other direction. $8 a week or $1 million a year? What's the difference? A mathematician or a wit would give you the wrong answer. The Magi brought valuable gifts, but that was not amongst them. This dark assertion will be illuminated later on.
Don't make any mistake. I don't think there's anything in the way of a haircut or a shave or a shampoo that could make me like my girl any less. But if you'll unwrap that package, you may see why you had me going a while at first.
Nimble fingers tore at the string and paper, and then...
Oh.
For there lay the combs. The set of combs, side and back, that Della had worshipped long in a Broadway window. Beautiful combs, pure tortoise shell with jeweled rims, just the shade to wear in the beautiful vanished hair. They were expensive combs, she knew. And her heart had simply craved and yearned over them without the least hope of possession. And now they were hers, but the tresses that should have adorned the coveted adornments were gone.
But she hugged them to her bosom, and at length she was able to look up with dim eyes and smile and say,
"My hair grows so fast, Jim."
And then Della leapt up like a little singed cat and cried,
"Oh, oh!"
Jim had not yet seen his beautiful present. She held it out to him eagerly upon her open palm.
"Isn't it a dandy, Jim? I hunted all over town to find it. You'll have to look at the time 100 times a day now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it."
Jim tumbled down on the couch and put his hands under the back of his head and smiled.
"Del, let's put our Christmas presents away and keep them a while. They're too nice to use just now. I sold the watch to get the money to buy your combs."
"Oh, Jim."
"Merry Christmas, Del."
"Merry Christmas."
The Magi, as you know, were wise men. Wonderfully wise men. who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in case of duplication. And here we have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other their greatest treasures of the house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the wisest. Everywhere, they are the wisest. They are the Magi.
Talking about, you got confusion all over the land. Mother against daughter, father against son, the whole thing is getting out of hand. Folks wouldn't have to suffer if there was more love for your brother. But these are trying times. You got the bigots and the deplorables. Yeah, they're all around. Going down. I don't understand it. My point of view. I remember somebody said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then folks wouldn't have to suffer. Try.
talking about? Mother against daughter, father against son. All over the world. All over the world.
And welcome to Sandbox Radio's Vermin Notes, where we check in with the critters that share our world.
Today, we cast our gaze skyward to the humble but lovable pigeon.
Who doesn't bubble with laughter when they see a merry group of pigeons bobbing down the sidewalk chasing a pizza crust? They're like whimsical clowns. Whimsical, filthy clowns.
Their Latin name is Columba Livia Domestica, which translates to filthy, stinking bird.
That cooing sound you hear is actually the result of gases being released from the ball of garbage decomposing in their filthy little gullets. Listen closer.
If you actually have skin contact with a pigeon, soak the area in bleach for a minimum of 4 hours. If festering occurs, consider amputation.
Pigeons secrete a noxious oil that can cause heart palpitations, restless leg syndrome, and the feeling that you will never be clean again.
Recent studies have confirmed that the pigeon is the filthiest thing known to science. There is nothing dirtier in the universe than the pigeon.
If the menu says squab, it's really pigeon. Don't order it.
In Puritan times, those who strayed outside of social norms were humiliated by being made to wear a hat made of pigeon feathers.
The Greeks believed that pigeons were a physical manifestation of your own unclean thoughts. The more of them you see, the dirtier your mind.
If you are close enough to smell a pigeon, it's probably already too late.
When a pigeon stares at you, it is picturing you naked.
This has been an SBR's Vermin Notes, helping you get to know the amazing and filthy world around you.
Commissioner, we can't get a hold of 60% of our officers.
Don't worry. We sent the signal. He'll be here. I may not know much, but I know that he'll be here.
You shouldn't sell yourself short.
What's that?
You know lots of things. You have a PhD in 3 different...
Oh, my God! What?
Behind you!
Someone need a little help.
Foxman!
You came! I knew you'd come!
The people of Frotham thought you were gone forever.
I didn't. I believed.
Well, if you're calling me for help, you must be crazy. crazy, like
Lincoln Fox! He said it! Oh, I can't believe he said it!
Actually, you said it, but whatevs.
We're so glad you're here.
Give it to me straight. Who is it this time? The poker? The spittler?
An old friend.
Not.
I guess you could say the Iceman cometh again.
Maybe it would be faster if we actually just said it instead of guessing we could say it.
Iceman back here in the city. That's impossible. I saw him die. Heat blaster 12 years ago.
Not the Iceman, Ice Girl.
Brenda.
Know her?
I guess you could say that. I guess you could say I know her quite a bit.
How do you know her?
I know her.
They, you know.
Brenda.
Look, I don't care who you've known in the past. You're going to have to deal with this Ice Girl, you got it? Before she freezes our whole town alive, just like her father.
Guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Or in this case, the icicle.
What would you like for Christmas, little girl?
Oh, wow, that's so kind. I do use this anti-wrinkle cream to stay youthful. It's made from raw pearls.
Great. And what would you like for Christmas?
Some raw pearl anti-wrinkle cream.
Great.
Here's a candy cane. Off you go.
Bye, Santa!
Why are these candy canes green?
Cilantro. They're trying out an artisan candy guy this year. You know, it's pretty good.
Did you know 10% of the population thinks cilantro tastes like soap?
Weird.
Did you hear something?
Cigarettes. Musk. And orange peel. I'd recognize that aftershave anywhere. Foxman, I know you're here.
Brenda.
Oh my God, it's Foxman!
Hi, Santa.
I told you I never wanted to see you again. I'm out of here.
Hold it right there. You're not going anywhere, Ice Girl.
Ice Girl?
We've got you surrounded.
Yeah.
Don't do this, Brenda. You're outnumbered.
Hey, B, why didn't you tell me you know Foxman?
I guess you could say we have a history.
I guess you could.
Why don't we actually just say it, though, instead of just guessing we could?
So, what is it I supposedly did?
Play innocent all you want, Ice Girl. We have security footage of you getting your hands on an ice blaster, premium grade.
Yeah, I have the receipt. Hang on, I can never find anything in this thing. Here it is.
So you admit it?
Yes, I admit I bought a snow machine. Look.
Oh my God!
Everyone take cover!
We've been using it for days in here. It's actually pretty pleasant.
The snow! My skin!
It must brainwash the victim. You won't get away with this, Ice Girl.
Jesus, it's just a snow machine. We use it to make it look like it's snowing inside.
And outside?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, that's actually snow. It's snowing.
It hasn't snowed here in 12 years.
Have you heard of global warming?
That doesn't make any sense. It's called global warming, not global freezing.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but global warming is actually a complicated concept. That doesn't necessarily mean the whole world is heating up constantly. It's just...
Can it, Santa?
My apologies.
People people hurting themselves, cars piled up, chaos like the city of Frotham has never seen before. Explain that, Brenda.
I think people just don't know how to drive in the snow.
Exactly!
Exactly what, sir? I'm really trying to get on board here.
She's just like her father, Iceman. She knew the snow would wreak havoc on Frotham, so she dropped it on the innocent civilians and watched as they tore themselves apart.
12 years ago, Iceman took over the TV, smiled as he announced he was freezing the city.
He was a weatherman. It was a blizzard. You shot him with a ray gun.
Oh!
What? How about,
It's okay, Chief. I think we're done here.
So her father wasn't a supervillain?
I'll explain it on the way back to the station. Let's go.
Here, take some cilantro canes with you.
Oh, thanks, Anna.
Looks like it's just the two of us.
I'm still here.
Santa!
I'll never forgive you for shooting my father, Foxman.
And I'll never forgive you for looking so goddamn good. Kiss me!
Oh, what the heck.
Oh.
You taste like soap.
Oh, Foxman.
And now, a slice of life from a Northwest snowflake through poetry. Please welcome, fresh off her recent triumph at the Tukwila Grand Poetry Slam, Amy.
Actually, my name is not Amy. It is Vision, for now I see with corrective lenses. My first piece is entitled Into Town.
My way is marginal from Georgetown to the city when a symphony of senses begins. Nostrils fill with wet bus smells, wet newspapers, wet coats, wet dogs, urine, falafel, Axe body spray. Earbuds can't block the out loud reader. Mumbling, whispering, commenting with grunts and sighs of approval. I don't care about the cute puppy or how one of the Real Housewives' Brazilian butt surgery went horribly wrong. Taste is next. There is no good taste on a bus. I stand, achy feet, losing my grip on the strap and reality. For my solace is the view, strong, industrial. Orange cranes appear as origami dotting the waterfront, then old brick. Ghosts of Pioneer Square, past ferry piers and gulls, and the view, the best view of my city. Soon commuters will plunge into the darkness of the most expensive birth canal since Kate Middleton. And we will say thank you. And please, sir, more taxes and a road toll, whether I'm traveling in or around my city. And please take my view, take the best view of the waterfront, and leave it all, yes, yes, leave it all except the view of the third stadium we somehow have the money for. and the view of the tents of the homeless we somehow have no money for. And leave the horrifying sight of a perfectly good Rainier brewery turned into mini storage.
Thank you. My next piece is self-explanatory.
What's El Nino? La Nina? Katrina? Jose? Sandy? Irma? Harvey? Maria? Denali is going gone. And there is snow in Houston and Honolulu. No global warming? Bite my nards!
Thank you. This final piece is best said after a deep cleansing breath. Please join with me. It's called Ding Dong, My Rights Are Dead.
We watch the news for Weinstein's Winky, Wiener's Wiener, Cosby's Cog, Spacey's Sprocket, and Cowboy Roy's Toy. Women are but chattel to every potentate in power wielding a stick. The posh's harem, virgin sacrifice, Mormon's big love, child brides the world over, even Thomas Jefferson had a love slave. Signaling death to equality, death to civility, death to humanity, from pink to cocomoco, large to small, hooded, helmeted, from president to peon, elephant and mule alike swing their cocks equally in patriotic time, at employees, clients, interns, constituents, boys, girls, no matter the age, race, or religion, and for a good time, call the unconscious. But the real tragedy is I have to have respect for the girls from Charmed.
Ah! Thank you.
That was Amy, everybody. You can catch her at the next Poetry Slam in Cedro Woolley.
Today, we find ourselves 47 degrees latitude, 122 degrees longitude, in Puget Sound. Off in the distance, we see the lush northwest canopy draping her mossy tendrils over the picturesque harbor. Not just a harbor, but a mother. She provides protection from the cold, hunger, and predator. A nurturing, loving surrogate for all her residents, the orphans of the sea. As the Calypso approaches, we hear her playful inhabitants. It is kitties! 100 or more singing grateful praises to their wet nurse. Get it? I crack myself up sometimes. These playful otters of the feline world fill this kitty harbor and the Frenchman's heart with glee. Kitten and cat, tuxedo and tabby, manx and mancoon, all frolicking together in perfect harmony. They are all here and await the loving arms of a new mother, a new home, a safe harbor, leeward from the fierce winds. I call on all of you to hear the siren call of the kitty. You, my friends, can make a difference in the life of a cat. Adopt. 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 You there, in Del Ridge or Georgetown, out in Durian or Medina. Yes, Medina. Adopt a kitty, or two, or just send money. Money is good. Please make your home a safe harbor with a warm bowl of milk for their fat kitty bellies. If not, I will speed away in my tiny submarine, sopping, eating wet, stinky cheese.
Hi, Calypso, the places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell.
Kitty Harbor, a nonprofit, volunteer-only rescue, rehabilitation, and adoption facility for homeless and abandoned cats and kittens. Find them in West Seattle. Stop by and visit the kitties.
Everyone likes to play with kitties.
Now open 7 days a week all year round. Please stop in and meet wonderful kittens of all ages that are in need of forever homes. Or make a donation of cash or supplies. Find out how at EmeraldCityKittyHarborSeattle.org. EmeraldCityKittyHarborSeattle.org. You're listening to Sandbox Radio. Guests have left. Clara tiptoes back to the living room to find her beloved Nutcracker. She falls asleep.
5 minutes to place, snowflakes.
Thank you, Five.
Stella, can you spray my butt?
Did you bring the hairspray up with you?
You should have done that in the dressing room.
I forgot, okay?
Steve will kill you.
Relax, Elise.
That stuff sticks to all the rented equipment.
Well, this costume rides so high, it looks like a thong.
Didn't used to ride up like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I've had 2 kids, Elise. My butt dimensions have changed. Thanks for pointing it out.
Didn't we demand new costumes a couple years ago? The GM is so cheap.
That's his goal. Keep them riding up. Keep the audience coming back. He's a lech.
This is a quality community entertainment, Marissa. Not everyone is a lech.
A lot of people are leches, Elise. Wake up.
Well, I'm spraying whatever fabric I can back down my ass. We're snowflakes, not snow whores.
Cover your faces, ladies.
Don't spray that much.
Nobody's gonna know.
What the hell's that smell?
Nothing,
Steve.
What am I smelling?
I farted.
That's not a fart. Jesus, is that hairspray? How many memos do we have to...
We farted, Steve, okay?
No biggie.
If you snowflakes have been spraying that crap back here again, Jesus, and this is your 3-minute warning.
Thank you, three.
This goes in my report.
Oh, dear, I'm quaking in my thong.
You should be. 3 minutes.
That was close.
Close? He's writing us up.
Chit. Who's got my lighter?
Venice, where have you been?
I need a lighter.
You're burning your ribbons now? You should have done
that. We're on in 3 minutes.
Hey, I had to pay for a fucking lift for my fucking job because my fucking car broke down. Then I had to pick up my fucking kid and get her to her fucking grandma's. All of this fucking traffic.
Oh, Venice.
Here. Thank you.
Turn around, do it sideways. Don't let Steve see the flame.
And I didn't get to shellac these pointe shoes.
It'll be fine.
How will it be fine, Marissa? It's been part of my ritual for 12 years. I can't be on point without my shoes shellac. I'll never stay up.
If the GM wasn't such a macho sadist, we could have stopped with the pointe shoes about 6 years ago.
Look, people, this is our last Bitter Lake Nutcracker, okay? The last one. They're tearing down this whole block. All the seasons and the sweat and the heart we've put into this. This is it. So let's just...
Riot?
No.
Scream?
No, come on.
Let's go out there naked.
Where's the damn rosin?
No, I'm saying savor. Savor, you know?
Savor?
I love dancing naked.
You want us to savor our demise, Elise?
Yeah, I mean, no.
1 minute to places, snowflakes.
Who's got the rosin?
One, two, three, four. Hey, where's Leanne?
I'm just saying, let's finish this thing right.
Where's Leanne?
She's here, Steve.
She was doing something down in the dressing room.
Well, she's got like 30 seconds to place.
Chill, man. Stage right flakes go on first, remember?
Bathing caps on, ladies.
Remember when we had those swank zirconium crowns?
Oh, yeah, what happened to those?
All the cost-cutting, traded them in on these dorky bathing caps.
Guys, they're not bathing caps.
They sure go on like bathing caps.
Caps on!
At last, the Mouse King and the Nutcracker face off alone in a fight to the finish.
That Mouse King's gotta stop hitting the carb table.
Yo, Flakes!
Leanne!
About time!
You need a quick butt spray?
Leanne, what's on your tutu?
Ew, is that?
This, my friends, is the color of resistance.
It's red.
Yep.
It kinda looks like...
It's dripping down your white tights!
Oh my God.
Jesus, Leanne, look down!
I know what it is. It's my menstrual blood.
Oh, shit!
I put it there.
Oh my God!
What is wrong with you?
I've got more. I've been bagging it all up for each of you.
Oh. What?
What are you talking about?
I'm not touching your menstrual blood.
Look, I've been thinking, let's make this thing real. Snowflakes bleed, ladies. Our feet are ruined. We've stayed at shit jobs for years. We've endured the most disgusting harassment. And for what?
Oh, my God.
This is our time to make a statement.
Are you insane?
She's right.
I got a Ziploc for each of you.
Oh, my God.
Leanne!
Last week, you know how I warned you about this nutcracker that they've jobbed in?
With the wandering hands.
I told the guy, do not go after Clara. She's my kid, I said to him.
You warned him, I remember.
Every lift, he's all over her. We went to the GM last night. He was like, hey, it's just one more night. You're dancers. Dancers get touched. You should just act like the professionals you're pretending to be.
He didn't.
Pretending to be?
The show must go on.
Well, we do need a nutcracker.
Elise!
Just as the nutcracker is going down in defeat, Clara throws her shoe at the Mouse King. Stunning him long enough for the nutcracker to run him through with his sword. In gratitude, the nutcracker gives young Clara his crown, and she turns into a beautiful princess, and he a handsome prince.
Stage right, snowflakes. Dancers, warning. Stage left, snowflakes, on deck.
Him and his frickin' hands.
Such a ledge.
So you know that little move he does when we're all bent over the Snow Queen's pond? Let's let him grab at something a little more moist.
Yes.
Yeah, crack some nuts.
Oh my God.
The handsome prince now leads Clara into the enchanted land of the Snow Queen.
Stage right, snowflakes, go. Stage left, snowflakes, dancers warning.
Wait! Leanne?
What about the second act?
Well, what about it?
Yeah, there's gonna be blood all over the stage. I'm in the second act. This is gonna totally screw it up.
Who cares about the second act, Venice?
That stuff's impossible to get out.
Who cares? Me. I'm finally the sugar plum fairy.
Big Rudy Tootie.
Yes, Marissa, it is, because it's the one time you didn't score the part.
Oh, poor baby.
Guys.
Snow whore.
Can we please stop tearing each other down?
Yeah, it's not feminist, Cole.
Look, Venice, I admit it. I wasn't thinking about the second act when I came up with this plan. I'm sorry. But, I mean, this has all got to stop, you know, for us. For our kids.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you say?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in. But what about Elise?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
The Bitter Lake Nutcracker needs to end in snow whores and blood.
Yes. Elise?
I have no health insurance, so I'm not stepping in it. But what the hell?
Right on!
Yes!
Thank you.
It's really been swell. It's really been great to be with you on our sandbox date. Oh, say it ain't true. Oh, say it ain't so. The show is done and it's time to go. Well, that's our show for tonight. Radio players were
Eric Ray Anderson,
Tracy Hughes,
Kelly Mack,
David Vitale,
Ashley Bagwell,
Lisa Holland,
Peggy Black,
Kate Craig,
and Brandon O'Neill.
Oh, who's that?
I am white.
Do it.
Brandon O'Neill.
Yeah.
Well, I am white.
And I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. Give it up one more time for Sarah Rudinoff. Tonight, the Sandbox Radio Orchestra was Troy Lund on the drums, Dave Pascal on the bass, Dave Marriott on the trombone, Rob Whitmer on the accordion and maestro and composer, the amazing Angela Bass.
Snowflakes was written by Scott Augustin, Robert Frost, Keiko Green, Elizabeth Heffron, O. Henry, Peggy Platt, and Wayne Raleigh.
Oh my goodness, big thanks to Act Theater for hosting us. Especially John Langs and Katie Burnett, and to the amazing staff and crew here in the gorgeous Falls Theater. Our stage managers were Jessely Miranda and Tay Yellen. And the show was mixed by Johnny Baca, recorded by Brian Moynihan, and lit by Sal Pons. So like we do at the end of every show, we want you to sing along with us, but it being that time of year, let's do this one. I think you know the tune.